Father God, thank you. Thank you for each and every person here right now. Father, we're not here by accident or fluke or chance. Your Spirit has drawn us here. You want us here to be here this evening. We thank you that we can gather as your family of believers. Thank you that we can sing songs and give you praise. Thank you that we can pray prayers and hear stories about things that you're doing. And we thank you now that we can look at your word. I pray that your word will speak to our hearts, challenge us, convict us, and change us to be more like Jesus. I pray that your word helps us this evening to have a stronger faith in Jesus. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in 2007, on January 2nd, an amazing thing happened. It was a life-changing moment. Now, Wesley was standing on the train platform in New York City, just like he would any other day. But on this particular day, a man named Cameron, a young man named Cameron, started to have some seizures on the train platform. And he stumbled and he fell and he got up again. And he stumbled and he fell and he got up again. And eventually he stumbled and he fell onto the train tracks below. True story, happened in January 2nd, 2007. And there was an oncoming train. Now people just froze, they didn't know what to do. Some people turned their heads. Some people were oblivious to what was going on. They were just getting off, walking around as normal. Now, this man called Wesley did the unthinkable. He was there with his two daughters. He jumped down onto the train tracks below and he pinned Cameron down to the train tracks because he was still having those seizures. And the train went straight over the top of them. Now, miraculously, both these men survived. Wesley, because of his construction experience, knew that there was a gap between the train, about a foot gap or more between the train and the tracks. And so he was able to hold Cameron down. The train passed over the top of them, and they both miraculously survived. A life-changing moment for both of these men. Now I want to share another story from the Bible, from Acts chapter 16, that was also a life-changing moment for a man. It was a life-changing moment for a prison guard, a Roman prison guard, a hardened Roman prison guard. It was a life-changing God moment that happened. Now this is the story from Acts chapter 16, verse 16, that I'm going to share with you, so I invite you to listen, and you can look along in your, with your Bibles if you'd like. Now Paul and Silas were in a city called Philippi, and they were looking for a place to pray. Now as they were looking for this place, there was a slave woman who could predict what would happen in the future. And she made a lot of money for her owners. Now this woman followed Paul and his companions around, and she was calling out, "These men are servants of God the Most High. They are showing you how you can be saved." And she continued to call this out for many days. Now, after a few days, Paul was getting a little bit annoyed. And so he turned around to the spirit in this slave woman and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And immediately, the spirit left this woman. Now, the owners, they were not happy because their way of making money was now gone. And so they grabbed Paul and Silas and they dragged them into the city. They took them to the authorities. They took them to the judges. And they said, "These men are Jews and they are causing trouble in our city. They are saying things that is unlawful in Rome, things that we cannot stand for or agree with." And then the crowd joined in on the accusations against Paul and Silas. And then the judges ordered that they be beaten with rods, stripped and beaten with rods. And then both these men, Paul and Silas, were whipped without mercy. And then they were taken to prison. And they said to the prison guard, "You watch these men closely." So the prison guard took Paul and Silas and took them to the deepest part of the prison, the furthest cell, and he put shackles on their feet. Now at about midnight, Paul and Silas in prison were praying and singing hymns to God. And all the other prisoners were listening. And then God shook the prison with an earthquake from top to bottom. And the doors flung open. And the shackles loosened on all the prisoners. Now when the guard woke up because of the earthquake, he saw that the prison doors were open. And he drew his sword. And he was going to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Now Paul called out, "Do not harm yourself." And then the prison guard called for the lights and trembling with fear, he fell before Paul and Silas. And then he took them out of their cell and he said to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas replied, "Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and all your household will be saved." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and his household, and they were all baptized. Now the prison guard took Paul and Silas and he cleaned their wounds. He then took them to in his home and he prepared a meal for them. And everybody was filled with joy in that house because they now believed in the Lord. Now the very next morning, the judges sent their officers to the prison. And the officers spoke to the prison guard and said, "The men can be set free." And so the prison guard said to Paul and Silas, "You are free to go. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "We were beaten publicly. We weren't even given a trial. And we are Roman citizens. And we were thrown into prison. Tell the judges to come here and escort us out personally." And so the officers went and reported this back to the judges. And they were afraid when they heard out that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. And so they went to the prison and they apologized to Paul and Silas. And then they led them out of the prison. And then they asked them, Paul and Silas, to leave their city. After this, Paul and Silas then went to the house of Lydia, who was an earlier convert. And they encouraged the brothers and sisters there, telling them to be brave. And then after that, they left and went to another place. Life-changing moments. Life-changing God moments. That's what happens in Acts chapter 16. Now let's think a little bit more about this story. How did they get to this life-changing God moment? And what's this mean for us today? What's our life-changing God moment? Well, here's some events that led up to this. First of all, Paul's life-changing encounter with a slave woman. Then we have Paul's and Silas' life-changing encounter in prison. And then Paul and Silas' life-changing encounter with the prison guard. So first of all, let's think about Paul and Silas' life-changing encounter with a slave woman. The story begins with a very peculiar encounter. Paul and Silas, they are in the city of Philippi. They encounter a slave woman who can tell people about their future. She made the owners a lot of money. And she is calling out, "These men are servants of God the Most High, telling you how you can be saved." Now, after several days, Paul gets a little annoyed. In the name of Jesus, he tells the spirit to come out, and it does. They have an encounter with this slave woman. Now, we can only assume that this would hopefully have been a life-changing encounter for this woman as well, as this spirit that she had left her. But we don't know much about what happened to the woman after this. But perhaps a question to ask here is, why is this woman having a spirit like this such a bad thing? Why is it bad that she could predict the future in this kind of way? Well, the Bible does give us a couple of warnings about listening to these sorts of predictions. When you think about horoscopes and star signs and fortune telling, the Bible does encourage us to steer clear from these sort of things. Jeremiah 27. I don't know what I'm doing here. Goodness. Jeremiah 27, verse 9. "Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who has a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you." And in Deuteronomy 18, it says something very similar. "Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter to the fire, who practices divination." It says the same thing, doesn't it? "Or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who's a medium and spiritist who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable for the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you." So the Bible says stuff about this elsewhere. And what it comes down to is this. All you need to know about your future is actually inside this book. All you need to know about your future is inside this book. Therefore, you don't need fortune telling or horoscopes or star signs. because these things actually show a lack of trust in God. We know our future. Our future is with God. We don't need to know anything else. Now, even though this woman is saying some good things, these men are servants of God the Most High. They are showing you how you can be saved. She is saying some good things. But ultimately what is happening here is people are going to this woman with the Spirit for their future rather than going to the one true God. And so Paul calls this Spirit out of the woman. He shows the power of Jesus. So ultimately people will look to God for their future. And that's what we should be doing as well. So Paul has an encounter with a slave woman who has this spirit. And then they have an encounter in prison, don't they? As a result of their encounter with the slave woman, they have a second encounter in prison. The owners weren't happy. They grabbed Paul and Silas. They dragged them to the city, to the authorities, to the judges. They said, these men are Jews and are saying things that we cannot agree with or stand for. The crowds joined in. They were stripped. They were beaten. They were whipped without mercy. And they were thrown into prison. Now, what I find extraordinary, after all that happened to Paul and Silas, they are still praying to God. They are still singing songs. Now, these people are either mad or they truly know God. It was about midnight, and they are praying and they are singing hymns, and the other prisoners are listening. It must say something significant about Jesus, mustn't it? If they are prepared after all that to still be praying and to still be singing songs. The source of their joy is the Lord. And Paul touches on this a little bit in his letter to the Philippians. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Paul is content in God, whatever the situation, whether he's in comfort or whether he's inside a prison cell. He's content in the Lord, and able to sing him praise wherever he is. And extraordinarily here, God does something extraordinary. He breaks the chains, doesn't he? An earthquake shook the prison from top to bottom. The doors flung open and the chains loosened from all the prisoners. Paul and Silas are set free. Now, when I was thinking about this idea of the chains being broken this week, my mind kept going to the song, Amazing Grace. What a great song. It's a song that reflects how God has spiritually broken the chains of our guilt and condemnation of sin and set us free with his amazing grace. We're going to sing about that a little later. My chains have gone. I've been set free. And so spiritually speaking and physically speaking, Paul and Silas, their chains are gone. They've been set free. But they don't run away. They stay. Now, I'm not sure why Paul and Silas don't run away. You think, oh, this is our perfect chance, isn't it? But Paul actually ends up going to prison quite a lot because he talks about Jesus quite a lot, and they end up putting him back in prison. And it seems to be the more Paul is in prison, the more the gospel spreads. And so Paul perhaps maybe likes being in prison, because when he's in prison, people are talking about why he's in prison, and the gospel just keeps on spreading and spreading. Elsewhere in Philippians it says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." Now, another thing that happens because Paul and Silas stay and don't run, they actually save this prison guard. It's a life-changing moment for him, a God life-changing moment for him. Now, this is what happens. Paul and Silas, the prison guard, was about to kill himself. Why was he going to kill himself? Well, we learned from earlier on in the book of Acts, when Peter got out of prison, that Herod had the prison guards killed. So perhaps this prison guard most likely was going to suffer the same fate. He thought, well, I'm going to die anyway. Prisoners have escaped. I may as well do it now. But Paul and Silas, they say, no, don't harm yourself. And the prison guard, I love how it describes how he's feeling. Like, he is trembling with fear. And he says to Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" And he and all his household are saved and get to know our great God. And think about what he's been saved from. Like, in a moment, this prison guard was about to kill himself and spend an eternity without God. And in that moment, he receives the gospel and gets to spend an eternity with God. This is why it is a God life-changing moment. Think about what he has just been saved from. It's a life-changing moment. We heard about the extraordinary story of Wesley and Cameron. That was a life-changing moment. I'd like to say a God life-changing moment as well, whether they recognize God's hand or not. But we definitely see God's hand at work here, opening the doors, causing the earthquake, and breaking the chains. And then an interesting little thing happens, doesn't it? Where Paul and Silas ask to be escorted out of the prison. And you've got to ask why. Why did they want an escort? Was it their own personal satisfaction that they wanted this escort? Well, they were entitled to it. Well, they were entitled to justice because they were Roman citizens. Romans doing this to Romans was not a good thing. But I think the reason Paul asked for this escort is so that those who saw the events of the day before could see that the judges had got it wrong and could actually see that perhaps Christianity wasn't a threat. And this would have also emboldened the believers to see Paul and Silas getting escorted out of the prison like this as well. And so what it comes down to is this. We want to see lives changed for eternity. We want to see more God life-changing moments like this happen, don't we? Because I know there is nothing better than seeing that happen in someone's life. When someone goes, yes, I want to follow Jesus. There is nothing better than witnessing that confession. And so therefore, everything we do at this church is so that those moments happen. Whether you're on church cleaning or doing door knocking, we do it all for the glory of the Lord, and we do it ultimately so more God life-changing moments can happen. So more people can hear and receive the good news of Jesus and be saved. Why give to Steve's position next year? So we can keep investing in the kingdom so we see more souls saved for all eternity. So we can keep seeing the Word of God go out and out and out. Now, what about your God life-changing moment? Well, perhaps you have had moments or experiences that have affirmed to you God is real. Or perhaps you've never had an experience like that. But I want to conclude by saying your biggest God life-changing moment is not when you were born. It's not when you started school or finished school or went to uni or got your first car or your first job or got married, bought a house. Your biggest God life-changing moment actually happened 2,000 years ago. It happened when Jesus died on the cross for your sin. It happened when he rose again from the grave and ascended into heaven. For each of us, that is our biggest life-changing moment or experience. It's when our lives changed, our destinies changed, our future changed forever. When we were in our sin and on that train track with the train of God's wrath about to run over us, Jesus stepped in and covers us, and so we are saved. Because when we believe in God, that's what happens. This is your biggest life-changing moment. This is your biggest God life-changing moment. It's a game changer, isn't it? Think of the song again. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Saviour, has rescued me. Let's sing this together now.